Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello, I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
The battle for America is on.
Correction, please. Pavarotti did not sing Nisan Dorma at the Trump nomination conference. It was Christopher Macchio. Oh, and what do I think about the fact that Trump used Nisan Dorma, none should sleep or let no one sleep, to finish his nomination speech? Some don't think it was any big deal, just one of Trump's favorites. Let's talk about that for just a little bit. The battle seems to be forming a front line on whether or not Kamala was appointed border czar. Did he, that is Biden, or did he not? Followed by another interesting question, should Trump be nice or should he be honest? Can you be nice and honest? Well, that's actually an interesting question. We'll talk about it. Assassination attempt, a consequence of incompetence, a product of DEI promotions, or is it that but something else too? Was it an inside job? Well, I don't know. Let's see what ABC News correspondent Thomas Pierre apparently seems to think that it was.
The government tried to kill former President Trump.
What? Are you kidding me? Okay, well, we'll take a look at that and the fact checkers take on it all. This man on Gutfeld made an interesting observation. When Gutfeld introduced him, something like, and here in this corner is, I can't even make it up what it sounded like. It sounded like a Foster Brooks routine, and I probably didn't represent that very well. Here's a link to the segment, and maybe you can figure it out. In order to get Kamala on the ballot in every state, he tells us, she must be running as an incumbent. If that's true, perhaps his passing the torch speech really was a fall upon his sword for the team. Oh, wait, this just in. I've got an awesome wife. She would not let the what's-his-name thing go, and she went off and figured it out. She came back with Shail Sonnen, a mixed martial arts fighter. Thank you, Dove. Good work. So, will they botch a Biden bump off like the government botched an attempt on President Trump? Well, what do you think? Okay, my friends, it's time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
So, what do I think about the fact that Trump used Nisan Dorma, let no one sleep, to finish his nomination speech? Well, I already spoke to this, actually, but since a man I admire, whose opinion I respect, and virtually by his take on it, dismissed mine, well, I thought I would at least touch on it. And let me say up front, I don't have the access to Trump he does, so, you know, I don't think it's a good idea either to get off on this, to get focused on this sort of thing. We have an election to win. And frankly, what message Trump might or might not have been sending to the deep state or to his followers is not something we need to get focused on. He laid out his agenda to go after the deep state in the Republican platform in a combination of statements that, if executed, will certainly drain the swamp this time. As for my response to the new GOP platform, you can see show number 994 at brainmassage.net. Nisan Dorma means let no one sleep. It was originally written for the last scene of an opera called Turandot, which premiered in 1926 in Milan, Italy. It was used at the end of a movie titled The Sum of All Fears in 2002. However, it should also be noted it appeared in other movies, but less significantly, in about 12 or so. The plot of The Sum of All Fears was typical of a Tom Clancy novel. A neo-Nazi character attempts to get America and Russia into a nuclear war that will bring the kingdoms of the world to destruction, from which he and his fellow conspirators planned to form a globalist fascist state. The song, Nisan Dorma, is sung at the end during the scenes when Jack Ryan, a Tom Clancy hero, is, well, let's say, dispatching the traitors who were involved in the plot and in advancing and supporting it to, of course, restore the hope of liberty for the world. And with the climactic ending of Vincero, 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 I can't say it even nearly so eloquently and beautifully as Pavarotti sang it or as Christopher Macchio presented it at the Trump confirmation convention. But Vincero says, I will win. I will win. I will win. Sort of like fight, 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 right? And so it is that many looking at this see an oblique reference to Trump's epic battle for liberty against the globalists and the deep state in the United States trying to advance the globalist agenda. Now, Bongino, whom I would love to call my friend, dismisses this theory and explains it's just a song that Trump likes a lot. Nothing more. Well, Jerry says, okay, I get it. We don't need to get focused on this, but I don't know. That seems strange to me. He chose, hold on, I'm coming. And that wasn't because he liked it a lot. It was because of its message. He chose Greenwood's great song, I'm Proud to Be an American. And I'm sure he likes it a whole lot, but it's because of its message for him. And I don't see how you wrap a convention with a song that, well, just happens to be a personal favorite of the candidate. Right? I don't think Trump's like that. I don't think Trump would hold his audience already long simply to force his love of opera upon a crowd of blue-collar Greenwood fans who probably, in the main, are not that inspired by someone singing to them in Italian. I'm just saying. No, at least not without an interpreter, okay? And if you had the lyric in front of you, it would be almost as senseless as the plot of that opera. I don't see it. Trump into competing for the affection of some rich chick at the risk of his life. Even with that, the lyric in English loses a whole lot in translation, let me tell you. It just doesn't communicate the way it does in Italian. The only thing that provides a context in which this song could have any meaning or message to Trump's MAGA Americans is the sum of all fears. So that's it. I rest my case. What makes it important to us is that, one, it tells us Trump totally gets what he's up against. The entire globalist establishment, not only here in America, but around the world. And number two, the stakes in this conflict are every bit as serious as those raised in the movie The Sum of All Fears. Believe me, truly it is. And three, our leader in this conflict is going forward into battle with an inspiring confidence that he will be victorious. So that's it, folks. No more on Nisan Dorma. Update on the assassination attempt, a consequence of incompetence, a product of DEI promotions, or is it that, but something else too? Was it an inside job? Well, let's see. ABC News correspondent Thomas Pierre apparently thinks so. Take a listen.
Chief Justice correspondent Pierre Thomas starts us off from Washington. Good morning, Pierre.
George, good morning. Our audience is about to see the frantic seconds in the moments after the gunman tried to kill former President Trump. It's all caught on police body cam video.
Wait a minute here. What? Run that one by me again. On ABC Good Morning America, senior justice correspondent for ABC News is introduced by, well, I think it's George Stephanopoulos, as Chief Justice Correspondent. That's weird, Chief Justice. Anyway, Thomas Pierre is introduced, and he solemnly says, here you go.
Our audience is about to see the frantic seconds in the moments after the gunman tried to kill former President Trump.
Now, of course, the fact checkers tell us that Mr. Pierre said gunman, not gunnet. Not government. Okay, I'm just kidding, sort of, but to get gunman out of that, you've got to assume he was talking in a very loose kind of a slang kind of a thing. But here, you listen to it again and make up your own mind about it.
Frantic seconds in the moments after the gunman tried to kill former President Trump.
Now, friend, this is just bizarre. Listen again, one more time, and I'll select only the key statement. Now, here you go. Listen to this.
The gunman tried to kill former President Trump.
All right, okay. I said one more time, but here's one more time. Listen to it again.
The government tried to kill former President Trump.
So I ask you, is this one of those out of your own mouth moments? You've heard me talk about that, how I think God just sort of providentially gets in there sometimes and squeezes the heart of a liar so the truth pops out of their mouth without them having enough time to correct it. Oh, you're not familiar with that? Well, Jesus said this. He said, quote, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Luke 19:22. Now, I've seen it happen many times. Someone just blurts out something that they're really trying to hide, but it exposes their heart. Okay, now I have just a little bit of time to address something that really does need to be nipped in the bud, you know, before it flowers. So those trying to make Trump out to be as if he's presenting himself as some kind of Messiah, that's nonsense. And those Christians who have a kind of idolatrous bent in their spiritual orientation, and there are many of those, by the way, let me caution you here. God is rather against idolatry, you know what I mean? And people calling him a savior and all this kind of stuff. Well, listen to him speak to you from his own heart on where he's at with all of that.
I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. I'm a Christian. I have a lot of reasons. I love people.
And our country needs a savior right now, and our country has a savior. And that's not me. That's somebody much higher up than me. Much higher up. We just do what we have to do. But the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ forever changed the world. It's impossible to think of the life of our own country without the influence of his example and of his teachings. Our miraculous founding, overcoming civil war, and the United States ultimately becoming a truly great nation. And we're going to keep it that way. We're going to keep it that way. We're not going to let it go. We're not going to let it go. But none of this could have ever happened without Jesus Christ and his followers and his church. None of it. And we have to remember that Jesus Christ is the ultimate source of our strength and of our hope. Let us thank Almighty God for our nation, for our precious freedoms, and our most of all, and I have to say this, for the gift of God's everlasting mercy and grace. We ask God to bless our nation and our people with faith and hope and love and peace.
Hang on through the break, my dear friends. I'll be right back.
Satan wants you to believe the world belongs to him, and that you, Christian, have no say and no place in it. But the secret is out. Jesus is king, and all mankind are his subjects. Satan has no right to rule an inch of territory in the earth. Learn how to claim the earth for Jesus Christ. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to GodsWar2020.com. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor of the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singing the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. The battle for the soul of America seems to be, at present, forming a front line on whether or not Kamala was appointed border czar. I did some shows on the whole czar thing years ago. This goes back to Woodrow Wilson, by the way, who appointed Bernard Baruch to head the War Industries Board. Now, that was a position dubbed Industry Czar, which, coincidentally, was only a year after the last Russian czar was deposed. Media freely used the term for presidential appointments during Franklin Roosevelt's forever reign in the Oval Office, after which the term was retired until the presidency of Nixon. Now, who brought it up? Well, I think the liberals did. Nixon never called any of his appointments drug czar or this or that or the other. No, if I remember correctly, the media did that. It was a catchy phrase, you know, picked up from the years of communist Woodrow Wilson. George and Obama both appointed about the same number of posts that the media freely referred to as czars. 67 between them. Yeah, 67. And each one of them was referred to in media and colloquially as czars. No one ever made a big deal about it. Ironically, it is a term despised by communist Russians, but beloved by Americans to identify citizens elevated to a place of unofficial rule over our lives, like czars. Technically, it identified the aristocratic rulers of Russia and Serbia. Who was the first to use it to speak of an unelected extension of the president's authority? Well, that's something I've not been able to run down. But anyway, the argument that Kamala was never officially declared by Biden to be the border czar is disingenuous, especially coming from the lamestream media. Well, they've been using this term as far back as Woodrow Wilson, during Nixon's administration, and virtually all the presidents that followed him down to Bush and Obama, where it reached a peak in usage. Until today, you've probably seen the video montage showing MSM, mainstream media, Marxist socialist media, referring to Kamala Harris as the border czar, repeatedly juxtaposed to the present echo chamber effort to erase that history. We all know that the MSM received their talking points from, let's just go ahead and say Soros, or the CCP, and then every outlet is on the same page, sometimes literally parroting the same message line. Now, here's an example of that at work. First, repeatedly, the MSM affirmed her role as appointed by Biden to be the border czar. Contrasted by how now they're trying to rewrite history right in front of the people who actually lived it. You know, it's one thing to try to rewrite history in the context of a people who were not there to live it, but these yahoos are so bold and arrogant in their presumptuous sin that they attempt to lie to our face about a history we lived, that we just finished living, for heaven's sake. Give a listen to this.
Quote unquote, border czar. Vice President Harris was not a border czar.
Meantime, Vice President and border czar Kamala Harris facing some backlash.
What he said about Harris and immigration was not true. She was never appointed border czar.
And this will be her first visit to the U.S.-Mexico border region since she was appointed as the border czar by President Biden.
People are going to have to counter the misinformation. You already hear folks talking about the border czar. She wasn't the border czar.
President Biden tapped Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, to be the border czar.
Now, she wasn't the border czar. That's what Republicans labeled her.
They were very critical of Kamala Harris, especially in her role as border czar.
Now what she's up against is folks lying about her border record, calling her a border czar.
Kamala Harris, who was appointed as the border czar.
The Biden team didn't declare her the border czar. They wanted her to work on kind of the root causes of immigration.
There has been so much criticism against Kamala Harris. You know, she was the border czar.
Calling her sort of the border czar, which wasn't necessarily the case.
So the border, if they weren't planning to address it in a major way, do not make her your border czar. She met with some of the Northern Triangle countries, but nothing has effectively changed.
So, you know, we've been calling presidential appointments to lead in the execution of presidential policy czars for a very long time. And of course, this is not the point. It's a clever distraction from the point. Let's quibble over the semantics and not look at her record. We've established the media referred to her as border czar. The liberals did. But the real point is she was given the job to stem the migration. And they, collectively, that is Biden and Harris, failed. Okay, look at this. Here's a link to the full statement on Biden's appointment. I encourage you to view it. Pay attention while you do. And then make up your own mind about it. I'll use some excerpts from this in context to reveal the truth about this controversy. So listen to Biden's own words when he appointed Harris to stem the migration to our borders.
I've asked her, the VP today, because she's the most qualified person to do it, to lead our efforts with Mexico and the Northern Triangle and the countries we're going to need help in stemming the movement of so many folks, stemming the migration to our southern border.
Now, I've got some other work to do here today, so I'll finish examining Harris's appointment by Biden to be his border czar on Saturday night around 8 p.m.-ish. And you'll find me on Rumble and Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Restream, and so on. You can go to brainmassage.net and subscribe. It's free, but you could subscribe there to receive notifications. the press conference when Biden announced Kamala's appointment to lead the immigration problem is very interesting. And a whole lot is revealed there that you're going to want to know about going into this battle, this new front line that's been developed in this election. Shale Sonnen, a mixed martial arts fighter, guested on Gutfield and made a few interesting observations. He said that in order to get Kamala on the ballot in every state, she must be running as an incumbent. And I thought, maybe Biden's passing the torch speech really was, after all, a falling upon the sword moment. Speaker Johnson also brought this up in an interview on CNN. According to Ballotpedia, Georgia's deadline to file for the 2024 election has already passed. It was July 9. Joe posted his letter dated July 21 on X, declaring his resignation from the race. Now, that's 12 days late, friend. His televised statement from the White House was on July 24, and that's 15 days late, and that's according to Georgia law. Well, Georgia is the only state where this could be a problem, by the way. But Georgia is well known for kicking law to the curb and doing whatever the Democrats in that state want to do. Aha! And here you go. CNN surveyed the 50 states, found 48 green-lighted the switch. Only Florida and Montana have not yet responded to CNN's query. Oh, so that means Georgia is all in? Okay. Trust your brain, Missouri, to dig into these sorts of things. Anyway, Shale argues that the only way to get Kamala on every state ballot would be for her to run as an incumbent president. And that's based on the truth that at least one state has a law requiring filing a nominee before July 9. And that with the general agreement, he says, all states have committed to that an incumbent running for office will automatically qualify to be on the ballot. Well, that's the basis for Shale's comment, suggesting Biden will have to die before we get to have Kamala on the Georgia ballot. Anyway, after an emergency involving Biden's interrupted travel plans requiring the plane, and by the way, he wasn't on Air Force One, isn't that interesting, to make a mad dash to Nevada with hospital there full alert and staff on hand, and then mysteriously the whole thing was called off. He was flown to the East Coast. Yeah, the rumors were flying then. And then we see these pics of Biden where it's, you know, like the dude grew, what, 3 inches or so, or four. Clone talk again. We've had a lot of that, haven't we? Maybe they're preparing us for when they were really going to pull one out or a double. Anyway, we all have a doppelganger somewhere. And no one knows how to fuel conspiracies like the United States government, let me tell you. So is it true that Kamala needs to be president before the election to ensure she's on the Georgia ballot? Well, it's like I said, never underestimate Georgia's ability to ignore the law and break the rules. Apparently, Georgia has no problem certifying Kamala for their ballot. That's what they told CNN anyway. So how did Satan's servant Brad Raffensperger, his office, rule on this matter? Well, Raffensperger's chief operating officer issued this statement, quote, "As the Democrats have not had a convention, there is no nominee to replace," end quote. Well, bless your heart. That's really cute. I've lost whatever accent I've had when we lived in Georgia. You know, my parents met while living in Georgia, and my dad moved us to Catella, Georgia, where they grew up, and we built a house between their homes where my mom lived and where my dad lived. So I know something about Southern ways, and, you know, bless your heart, that kind of thing is sort of the way you say something to somebody you actually kind of despise. You know? And they just did something that you wish to dismiss as irrelevant, and it doesn't always mean that. You got to get the context. No, I mean, it never means that in California. But anyway, hey, Mr. Raffensperger, the Democratic convention is scheduled for August 19-22. Now, I'll have to check my calendar, but I do think that's after the Georgia deadline for filing. Yeah? So what's that about? Why would you have a deadline for filing and then the Democrats plan their convention after? And now you're using that as the excuse why you don't need to worry about it. So much for the rule of law in Georgia, right? Well, that went out in 2020. It probably went out way back then when the devil went down to Georgia and moved in. Remember 2020. It's like saying, remember the Alamo. A battle lost precipitating a war that was finally won. And by the way, I don't bring up this Kamala on the ballot thing because I hoped it would disqualify her. Actually, friend, I still have my doubts about whether she will even really ultimately end up being the nominee. Well, we'll see. I think we're going to wish she had been. Even with Obama's late endorsement, waited for Kamala to make some assurances, perhaps, about who actually will be running the White House. Just saying. I don't know what goes on in their dark rooms. I bring it up, however, to illustrate how Democrats disregard law. To them, law is only a tool useful to them when they can get something done to advance their agenda with it or to harass their enemies. It has nothing to do with justice. This is characteristic, by the way, of the entire party right now. Certainly its leadership. But it's also present in the Republican Party, like Raffensperger, for example, creepers, who crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude 4. We've got the creepers, friend. Now, speaking of the Bible and the Bill of Rights on Sundays, I'll be speaking on the Bible and the Second Amendment this weekend. My Bible study begins at 9:30, and I'm teaching through the book of Jude. I'll be preaching on the Bible and the Second Amendment in both the morning service, which begins at 10:45, and the evening service, which begins at 5 p.m. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on by calling 1-805-314-2114, and then just say, lights on, and hang up, or lights off, and hang up. I've had some say, lights are blinking. Okay, you agree with much of what I'm saying, you don't agree with some of what I'm saying, you know, one of those things. Anyway, email me by going to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net, find the contact button and send me an email. God bless you, my dear friends. God bless America, and I'll see you in church.
God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. A shocking statement to many, but our founders didn't think so. John Jay believed Christians should prefer believers to rule our nation because Jesus is the King and all mankind are subject to his crown. Our founding fathers understood this and acknowledged Christ as King. Satan once boasted all the kingdoms of the world were his, but no longer. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of Satan over this world and cast the prince of this world out. When Jesus rose from the grave, he declared, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Jesus sent his Spirit into the world, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where the Spirit of Antichrist is, there is tyranny. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is greater than the Spirit of Antichrist. Now, you can learn how to unleash the power of Christ into the world to defeat the Spirit of Antichrist. Learn how you can defend liberty through the authority of Jesus Christ. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World, today. www.godswar2020.com